This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
He did have a girlfriend and I knew about her the whole time. He was so good at manipulating me and I was like so desperate and he knew it. I tend to take in people that I definitely shouldn't, which goes to show when the second one came around and I did the exact same thing back to back. Oh my God, like a week later, I was like, oh my God, he's the same as the first guy. How did I not notice?
Sometimes the universe makes you repeat old patterns until you finally learn your lesson. Welcome to season 8, episode 8. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says she fell into becoming the other woman through emotional infidelity. And if you're wondering where these breakup stories come from, I always take submissions from a form in the episode description. So if you want to submit your own story, nominate someone, or let me know about something you've seen on social media, whether it be some chick you saw on TikTok talking about her breakup, or maybe someone you know who's been soft launching their breakup. Again, just head to the episode description. You'll find a submission form linked there. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got a submission where our guest says she found herself in multiple scenarios where she entertained men emotionally who were in relationships. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, we are shouting out the New Orleans Family Justice Center. They provide a range of free services to survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, human trafficking, and child abuse in the greater New Orleans area. Head down to the episode description to learn more. Okay, so into this week's submission. So it talks about somebody at the age of 18. They were involved in some kind of like emotional infidelity that was happening at work. It was between her and a coworker. And it was this very like offbeat situation where there's definitely something suspicious happening, but like he's treating her like any other friend, talking to her about his life, what he plans to do, like propose to his girlfriend and even inviting her to the wedding. So that goes on for like 4 years, very, very long time for that to go on. And then another coworker helped her get out of that scenario. But even though that person was also in a relationship, she also found herself in a very similar situation where she starts falling for somebody that she shouldn't be. Now, before you get your judgment caps on, let's just tune in and let's hear her out when we break down this week's breakup.
We met because of work. He was like 2 years older than me. You know, I didn't talk to people at work. And then all of a sudden, like, he just started talking to me every morning. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I'll just say hi. He's trying to make friends. And then like, kind of just like weaseled his way in, if you will. And it was just like, we got closer and closer and he's really good at manipulating me. So he's like, oh, we're best friends, like this and that. And it was always like, you can confide in me, but like, I'm not going to confide in you. And if I do, like, it's so low level or it's such a lie that it doesn't really matter what I say. And that's how that one was just, he was a train wreck.
What did you like about the situation or him or whatever you guys had going on?
At that time, like, I feel like it's really important to preface. I was 18 and I was going off to college, but I had never had like any male attention. So I was finally getting male attention. And like the one thing to really know is that he did have a girlfriend and I knew about her the whole time. So like I was never trying to think that way. I was like, oh, a friend, like naive little me is like a friend, but like it's male attention. So it like fills the void of both things. No. It never will fill the void of both things. But it was one of those where like he mimicked his personality to like make it compatible. And I'm not going to lie, like I was desperate and he was cute. So he's not cute now. Like, let me make it abundantly clear. The delusions in my head made him cute, but like him himself, I could have done better. And it was just like at that time, it was just like somebody that like actually paid attention and seemed like they cared. And I ate that up.
Okay, so tell me about the situation. Like, you mentioned he had a girlfriend. So like, are you dating this guy? Are you hooking up with this guy? Like, how do you guys get together?
It was just more of like emotional cheating than anything. Like, he was always like bad mouthing her, which I knew was wrong. I mean, I didn't know her personally, but I was like, I'm not going to think the worst because like men that cheat will always bad mouth their partners into like manipulating you into thinking like, oh, it's great. And it was just like, it was more emotional, but like he's really good at like crossing the line with like sexual harassment, if we're getting into it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, we can't do it.
It was always like making comments as he would get more and more comfortable. And I'd be like, no, like, that's not it. But it was never like a big shutdown. No, it was like I'm so uncomfortable. This is awkward. No, he saw it as a go. And I never like stood my ground on it because like, I didn't see the problem with it. I was like, oh, he just says stuff sometimes. Like, and it was more like very intimate things. And I was like, no, like you don't need to say that. Like, I'd be like, wow, I was like looking at your ass while you were working. And I was like, okay, I know you're lying. I don't have one. But like, that's not okay. Like, you have a girlfriend at home. And he would always bring up, like, oh, like, we're having problems or this and that. Or like, one night he texted me, he was like, yeah, we broke up. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And me being me, thinking this man was heartbroken, I bought him like a breakup card. And like, I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, you'll get over it. Like, lies. They broke up for like maybe 5 minutes. They were back together that night. And I was like, well, that's dumb. He was so good at manipulating me. And I was like so desperate and he knew it that like I just kept going along. Like this strung along for like 2 years. It was horrible.
So what I'm getting from him is that he's trying to test the waters to see if you'd be open to like getting with him. He
Pretty
wants
much.
to kind of see where you're at before he makes any kind of leap.
Yeah, he did that with a lot of other girls too, I found out. Like, I was talking to one of my friends, and one of her friends had gone through the same thing. And as soon as she found out, she was like, you need to get away. Like, he's not gonna stop. She's like, I did the whole thing with him. She's like, it was the worst mistake. She's like, you have to get out. And I was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Always believe the other girl. For the love of God, I cannot stress it. Always believe the other girls. They know it. You're not different. You're never different.
What happened? Where do we go from there?
Oh my God, I wish I reported him to HR. It happened every once in a while. Sometimes it happened at work. Sometimes it would happen like over text, over Snapchat, because heaven forbid children, but those things delete. So you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
And it just like he kept getting like deeper and deeper. And I was like, I kind of like went with it. Like I knew it was wrong. Obviously, like I was uncomfortable with it. I was stressed out all the time. Like I was texting my friend every time he'd do something. And I remember her text. She's like, he's making me feel delusional. Like he's manipulating me in this. Like, how is this working? And that's when I was like, oh, okay, we are too far into this. This is like not healthy. Yeah, the intention was like great, but the stress that came with it was so not worth it. And so it kind of like dwindled down. Like we got really, really close at the end. Makes me gross, but like close. And then he ended up getting a new job offer. And I was like, no, you should totally take it. And he ended up taking it, thank God. Because like I knew the only way for me to get like out of this situation was like for one of us to leave our job. And I was like, I'm not leaving. I was here. I've been here longer, even though I'm younger. Like, you get out. And he did end up leaving because like a lot of people at work didn't like him either. For fair reason. Like, I don't blame him. I was the only one that was delusional enough to like him. And that was like one of my other coworkers too. He and like somebody in the office had come up to me and they're like, hey, by the way, like this is not okay. Like, even just like the bare minimum they knew. So then I like started confiding in them and they were like, this is not okay. And I was like, what do you mean? This is horrible. Obviously, like it kind of started clicking. And so he ended up taking the other job, which was super duper helpful. We stayed in contact for a little bit. I am not proud to admit this. He would call me on his way home every day and we would talk for the hour drive he had. Okay. I'm not proud of it. I still thought we were friends. Like, and that was the thing. Like, I made that boundary so clear and he walked right over it and I let him. That's like on me. But it was one of those where like he would call me every day and I was like, okay. So I finally texted him. I was like, hey, I haven't seen you in like a month. You know, it's weird. And we met up in a Taco Bell parking lot because we're in the same town, but he's like, well, I can't be seen. And meh, 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 meh. And I was like, okay, sure. And he had made some very, very sexual comments like after I left to me. And I was like, I don't like this. So I was like, I was getting ready to like cut the string. Like I could feel it. We were getting closer and closer. And then I think the straw that like really broke the camel's back was he had called me one night drunk. And come to find out, his girlfriend, now fiance, by the way, because he proposed during that timeline, but she was out of town and he called me and he was drunk off his butt. It wasn't even crazy. It wasn't even funny. He was like, you should come over. Like, I miss you so much. And I was like, I'm not doing that. You're drunk off your ass. This is stupid. And my favorite line was, well, like, you can come over. Like, you don't even have to sleep in the same room. Like, you could sleep in a different room or like, I can come over. Like, I'll even sleep on your lawn outside. And I was like, what? Are you, what is wrong with you? This is not happening. And I was like, I just was so adamant. I was like, this is not happening. I'm not doing this. I like have those boundaries. And he goes, what if I call my fiance and ask her if it's okay? And now I should have said yes. I should have made him patch her into the call. Like I had her phone number at the time. I could have done the same thing. But I was like, no, that's ridiculous. And I was like, you need to go to bed. I'm done. I hung up. And like, I don't think we talked for a couple days after that because I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, that's so insane. And it was terrible. And then like he finally called me one day, probably like a week later, and he was like, "Hey, what's up? How you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm at work right now." He goes, "Well, when are you gonna be done?" And I was like, "I don't know." And he's like, "Okay, well, call me back after." And I was like, "Okay." And then I blocked his number and I never called him back again.
Oh my
I was like,
God.
"I'm so done with you." But it took like 2.5 years. It took him drunk calling me and trying to get with me. While, mind you, they have cameras outside the house, they have cameras inside the house. I was like, "No. This is terrible. She's in a different state on a girls' trip, and you're like, you should come over." And I go, "You're stupid." And this is, I did forget to mention, this is the same guy that like was like, "I wish I could invite you to my wedding." And I was like, "I'm not going. What do you mean? Like, I am not going to this wedding. Like, this is stupid." Oh, he was such a
So
dick.
you let this go on for 2.5 years because of what? Like you just enjoyed the attention. What was the appeal?
It was really like the attention, and I'm not gonna say like, listen, he's not great at a lot of things, but manipulation, I gotta hand it to him. He's 10 out of 10. He's phenomenal at that. And it was just like I was going through a lot of like terrible things in my life, just emotionally and like physically with family members, and you know, therapy was going on, so like trying to heal all of that. And I just wanted like somebody to be there for me, and like rarely he would be there, but he was there. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna hold on to this little glimmer of hope I have. And it was just really one of those where I was like, I just kept telling him, I was like, no, we are friends. Like, we are friends. We are friends. And I thought he was getting it. And I was so stupid to think that. Like, honestly, looking back at it, I had so many people tell me, but you know, they're never right. You're always right. And it was mainly like the attention, but just somebody that like I felt cared, even if it was like 4%, which is a terrible amount. Like, no one, that's terrible. Don't ever accept that from anybody. But at that time, like, I was like, you know what? I'll take what I can get. And then I was like, this is stupid. And I was like, okay, you can't be young and naive anymore. Like, you people around you are noticing, like, they're telling you it's not right. Like, you trust these people that are trying to help you get out of the situation, and you keep telling them everything, but you can't stay in it. Like, they can't help you get out if you keep staying in it. And so it was one of those where I was like, I had to have a heart to heart. And I was like, okay, this is not good. I'm not happy. This cannot go on any longer than this. Like, it was already been too long. But I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, it's taking such a toll on my mental health too, which did not make it any better.
Well, what did you learn about yourself from that situation and how you show up in, I don't want to say relationships because it wasn't technically a relationship, but I mean, I think any kind of like somewhat romantic interaction can bring out parts of us that we wouldn't have otherwise noticed.
Yeah, I learned that I am a misfix it, because I cannot like fix myself sometimes. Like, even if I am like in therapy doing work, like I feel like I'm not making any progress. So I'm like, well, if I help somebody else, like then I don't have to worry about my problems, but I can also see them helping, you know, me helping them fix whatever, even though they're not fixing it because they're manipulators and they're lying to you. But it's one of those where like I just really want to help people. And so I tend to take in people that I definitely shouldn't, which goes to show when the second one came around and I did the exact same thing back to back. But, you know.
What's the next situation that happened?
So one of the guys, the first coworker that came to me, he was like, "Hey, you know, this is not good." And I was like, "You're so right. And I trust you so much." And mind you, I knew he was engaged at the time. Like, I knew he was getting married because like he's 13 years older than me, and I'm just gonna say I'm 23. Okay. So I was 21, 22 at this time. Like, my walls were down, but like up, if that makes sense. And so like I trusted him and I was like, no, you're right. Like, this is not okay. Like, and it was more of like we had a lot in common in our childhood. And so I told him straight up, I was like, you know, I don't have family, I don't have siblings. I was like, you are like a big brother to me. And I made that abundantly clear. So it didn't occur to me when we were getting a little close. I was like, you're like a brother. Like, I keep saying this. You are there for me when I need you. You know, he was like emotionally showing up. I just thought it was like kind of a pet project. And I was like, wow, you know, he really cares. Like, he's super helpful at work. He's all of these things. But then it'd be like, I mean, there were just like some odd comments that started coming, and his were like so much rarer. But like, mind you, this part didn't happen for 2 years. This one only went on for 1.5 years. So we're getting better.
Okay, that's an improvement. That's a 50% improvement upon the first one.
That's what I'm saying, right? But like, we were getting really close, and like, I didn't have a problem with it. I ended up going to his wedding, which ironically, his anniversary is today, his 3 year anniversary, I say, I think.
Perfect timing.
But like, I went to his wedding, and like, that's the first time I ever met his wife. Now, I was like, again, I don't feel this way towards this guy, even though By the way, they look identical. I should have known. He and I just kept getting closer and closer because, like, he was like my brother. Like, and I would confide in him, like, basically a lot that was going on in my life. And he was super helpful because obviously he has a lot more maturity than I do, which not really, but like, he has more experience, I guess. And so he was like super helpful during these times. But then every once in a while would just drop like a weird comment. Once he was talking about he wanted to build a barn dominium and he was like, oh, I'll make a room for you. And I was like, you're married, bro. What are we doing? Like, that's like, maybe sweet, like a sibling, but I was like, I'm not living with you and your wife because I know what happens when you're married. I'm not interested in that type of life. And so I was like, okay, like, no big deal. Like, it was just a one-off. And then it would like turn into, they were so minor. Like, I never noticed. He definitely was not as sexually harassing. I will give him that. But it was more of like, he has a jealousy to him. And so it was like if you would be in any situation, like you'd walk past him, he'll never say hi to you. He won't even look at you. But if you don't say hi to him, you're getting a text about it later. And he's like, well, you didn't even say hi. And I'm like, you didn't either. Like, what are we doing? These are double standards. And it was minor things like that that started adding up that I was like, this is weird. 'Cause like, I'm telling you about my family, but like, you're not telling me much. Like, now you're just turning into a sounding board, which is okay. But like, why are we not having this back and forth communication? Why are we talking about this and that? And then as it got to the end, which I knew it was the end because I feel like I should mention to put this into perspective, probably like less than a year before it officially ended, he ended up blocking me, mind you, our main form of communication, Snapchat. By the way, if he's in his 30s and Snapchat is one of his main forms of communication, red freaking flag, run. Don't even care. Friends, not friends, run. He's 30. This is crazy. A year before, he had blocked me on Snapchat because I went through, I had a background check thing because the people that work sometimes for us, I don't trust as a female working in a male-dominated field. And so sometimes they have records. So I like to do background checks. Well, I was like, I'm bored. Let me do background checks on all of my coworkers. What could there be? And there was something for him, but it was like so minor. And I figured, so I didn't say anything. Well, word got out to him that I'd done a background check and he blocked me. Come to find out, he was like, well, you shouldn't go around saying that. He goes, why'd you do a background check? And I was like, because I did them on everybody. I was like, it wasn't personal. And I was like, I saw something. And he's like, well, you had to go tell people. And I go, I don't even know what you did. Like, I dead ass don't even know. Like, I didn't ask you because it's not my business. I'm doing something like that. I'm not asking for your permission to do a background check. Like, this is something I'm learning, but it's not my business. So I'm not going to ask you about it. He was so PO'd about that. I think for 4 or 5 months, didn't talk to me like at work or anything. Like, if we absolutely had to, we would, but like, passing each other every day, never talk. And I was like, this is so stupid. Like, this is so minor. This could be talked out. And it was just like little issues like that that we would build up. But he on ended up unblocking me. And then like we became close again. It was weird. Okay, let's just, I think that's when it really got like worse. 'Cause we were getting close again, but then like it was almost like 'cause I was older, like he felt more comfortable making these things. I was like, I don't love this. And the straw that broke the camel's back, ironically, was at someone had a party. I'm not going to get into like too much details about it because it's personal, but somebody had a party.
You can't just say that and not give
Well,
me any details.
I mean, he had a, okay, so it was like his, it's not his nephew, but we're just going to call him his nephew for the point of it. It was his grad party, but his nephew and I are like besties.
Yeah, you
And
said it so
so,
cryptically. I'm like, is this like a secret sex dungeon party?
No. It was a grad party, but like everything that happened at the grad party was like a lot of drama. I feel like I should mention he comes with a lot of drama.
I'm
Like,
getting that. I'm picking that up.
yeah, for a 36-year-old, a lot of drama. Go to therapy. But anyway, he and his wife were there. Okay. And now that's only like the fourth time in the 2.5, 3 years they've been married that I've ever seen her. So I've never talked to her. If I'm not comfortable with you, like I'm not comfortable with you, right? It's just what it is. And so it was one of those where like I didn't talk to him. Like I stayed with his family because I feel like one good thing to know is that like this whole family I am super duper close to. Like I am so close to their grandpa. Like he's like my own grandpa. I'm super close to the graduate's dad. Like he's my dad. Like this is like such a close knit. Now, like I don't go to family events, but like they treat me like one of their own and I love it. Like we mesh together so well. It also helps that I was searching for a family. So, anyway, while I was like talking to the grandpa and I was having a conversation with him, whatever. Well, then this guy comes up and just interrupts the middle of our conversation. And I was like, okay, minor, like, but doesn't acknowledge me, whatever. His wife is standing there. She's not even talking. And I was like, I'm going to go talk to somebody else now because this is not a conversation I'm in, whatever. And so I walk over to that other person. Well, then a few minutes later, here he comes with his wife in tow and he starts talking to her. And I was like, bro, I was so mad. He didn't even like acknowledge me. And that sounds so petty.
Yeah.
Like when it's been built up for like 2.5 years and you're always like, well, you never talked. Like you can't go back and do the same thing. So he left the party, whatever. And probably like a day later, he snapped me and he was like, so you couldn't even talk to me yesterday. And I go, and you couldn't either? And he was like, yeah, I guess you're right. And I was like, okay, buddy, whatever. And so I was like, hey, you know, let's talk this out. Cause like this guy was someone that was always like, I know you like the back of my hand. Like, you know, I can read you really well because like we were similar. And he's like, you know, I'm an open, like, be honest with me, like always elaborate, you know, whatever. And I always did cause I felt safe. So this time I'm like, hey, listen, by the way, that was a really shitty thing to do. Like, I don't feel comfortable with what you did. It was rude. Like it hurt my feelings. Like, and that was it. Like, I was just going to tell you, you know, it's not like it hurt my feelings because you interrupted two of my conversations. Whatever.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, just turning it into like, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, or just, you know what, you're right, it turned into a big fuss. And then I was like, you know what, whatever. And he's like, well, maybe it's because my wife was there and you're not comfortable. And I go, why are you speculating? I have told you why I felt this way. Like, what happened? And I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm not comfortable with her, whatever. And it just speculated after that. And I was like, you know what, I'm done. Like, I was like, I was just looking for a quick little, hey, this hurt my feelings, that's all. You've blown it out of proportion. I'm done with this. And he goes, okay. And I feel like one little critical detail that I forgot to mention is that for the last like 2.5 months that like we were talking, like on the edge, whatever you want to call, every week I would get on my TikTok page and his wife would view my profile. Like now I'm friends with him on TikTok. I'm friends with him on Facebook, but his wife would view my TikTok profile. I'm like, okay, at least if you're going to do this, turn your profile views off. What are you doing? Like, I'm not threatened by you because I don't want your man. Not at all. Not in the slightest. I cannot make that more known. I insult the way he looks. I don't want your man. I was like, is she jealous of me? So then come to find out, like from people that knew him back when he was younger, they're like, oh yeah, he was always talking to like more than one female at once. Like he could never like keep it with one. And I go, well, that sucks for his wife. That's not my problem. And it's been hands off since. But the only like weird part is that I see him at work every day. Our parking spots are right behind each other. So every single day without fail, like there are reminders of each one of us. But I'm just like, this is actually kind of funny. Like I just get to sit and I get to laugh now. And then after that, I was just like, all right, I'm done. You know what? Second time's clearly a charm, but I don't want a third at this point. I've learned a lot about myself. Like I will say, you know, he did help me learn a lot about myself because like I was strong enough that I didn't have to let it go on for years and years. And I was able to like actually articulate like, this is why, which kills me though, because I was in my therapy sessions up until the day it happened. And I was like, yeah, he's like such a good person. Like he makes me a better person. You know, I really trust him with my whole heart. And then shit hit the fan. And I was like, oh my God, like a week later, I was like, oh my God, he's the same as the first guy. How did I not notice? But it was one of those where like, I was like telling everybody, I even told him, I was like, I talk about you in therapy, like you make me a better person. And I think it was just one of those where like, he didn't get his needs fulfilled when he was younger. And so it was like the God complex. And he was like, yeah, tell me how great I am. But then I'm jealous if you talk about it. And I was like, you're 36. Like, when are you going to grow up?
Well, I mean, it does seem like you've been really self-reflective about the whole experience, despite the convolutedness of it all. I mean, did you ever think about like reaching out to either of their respective women and tell them kind of what was going on?
I thought about the first one. I sit with it daily. I ended up deleting all of the proof of everything probably like a year ago, I think. And that's when I went through it. And like, I made sure like, not only was his number blocked, but everything was deleted. Like I wanted him cleaned out of my life. And I really did think about telling her, but like, I talked to the friend that had cheated with the guy before. And she was like, you can tell her. She's like, but we've all told her and she continues. And so it was one of those where it was like, you know what? Like, I am already embarrassed about this situation. I don't want to get in it. If they're happy and she knows who he is, because they've been dating for like 7 years. I was like, okay, if she knows who he is, like, it was one of those where it was more of like me being embarrassed than anything. And then by the time like I kind of got the courage, I'd already deleted everything. And I was like, you know what? They're happy and he's going to continue to do this. So I just happened to be like a victim. And it was one of those where like I do feel bad for her, like, and not telling her, but like I had to protect my own peace. And I was like, I don't want to get in the middle of that. I can't dig myself in even further. Like, it's going to make my mental health worse. And I was already really struggling at the time. But then as for the second one, I don't. because she knows who she married. I feel the need to tell you. So there's a substantial age gap, and this was also his third engagement, so take that with a grain of salt. So I was like, you know who you married. Like, you've heard all the talk about him. He's heard all the talk about you. Like, if this is the way, now I'm my speculation, not that I am speculating at all, but I'm pretty sure she just married him for money because he is an only child and an only grandchild. So I'm like, well, I hate to be that person, but like, you two don't seem great together. And like, I've heard their family talk about her and they're always super nice, but I could tell that they're a little hesitant. And I'm like, you know what? If your family doesn't like your wife, like, I think you know. I think at that point it was just like desperation. Like, he really didn't think he was going to end up with anybody. And so she just decided to marry him. And, you know, it was a win for both of them in some sort of way. Not love, but good for them, I guess. Because I remember he cried when she walked down the aisle. And I told him, I was like, I've never seen you cry, but it didn't seem like a sad cry. It was like, oh my God, my bachelor years are gone.
Well, how do you feel about the situation in hindsight? Like now that you're kind of removed from it, like when you look back and on those years, what do they make you feel?
I mean, I'm definitely very glad that they happened now. Don't get me wrong. Like, I hated myself during them, and it took like a whole 2 months for the second one to be reflective. But I think I had healed through the first one pretty easily. So it was more of I was able to come to terms with the second situation, and it didn't like take me as long. I mean, I definitely feel hurt because they both knew what they were doing, especially the second one, because like I think the worst part of all of that, which it was already terrible, don't get me wrong, was that like I'd mentioned, I confided in him a lot, but it was probably about a month before it ended. And I was at like a family party or whatever. And I just like in that moment, I saw like how much my family did not care about me at all. And I confided in him because like I was so low. Like I was like crying on my way home. Like I just felt so worthless because I was like, nobody cares about me. So I went to the one person I thought cared about me, only like to find out that, you know, I feel like it's a girl's worst nightmare is when you think you're friends and then all of a sudden, like, they want more. And it's like, well, I thought you liked me because I was a friend or like something like that. And I think that's like what hurt the worst out of all of it was that I trusted him with a lot of secrets that I haven't even like told my friends. And so it was like, you know, I thought I could trust you. And I think that's honestly what hurts worse. But like, I'm very glad that these situations happened. Like, I am able to learn a lot about myself and what I want. You know, I mean, I still live a very lonely life, which kind of sucks, but I'd rather live a lonely life than continue to get manipulated. So I feel like it's a win there. But we're honestly just trying to work through all of it in therapy and kind of like find a healthy relationship and how to spot the signs and not just like try to see the best in people to the point where like we wear ourselves down on it.
Well, if anybody's listened to your experience and they're like, oh my God, I've totally done that, or I think I recognize parts of myself in you, like what's advice that you would give them based off of the experiences that you had?
Definitely heal yourself. And that's not like a derogatory heal yourself. Like, definitely take care of yourself. You have to deal with yourself for the rest of your life. You're going to be embarrassed at moments. You're going to be regretful if you think it's worth it to tell her and it's not going to like get, not like get you in any more trouble, but if it's not going to hurt your mental health, tell her. Like, you have to be a girl's girl and know that most of the things he is telling you are probably lies about her, even if you want to believe it in your heart of hearts. But just don't beat yourself up for it. Like, sometimes people suck and that's just the truth. Sometimes they have unhealed trauma and, you know, you happen to be a safe space. Like, don't close yourself off from being a safe space or wanting to help people just because you picked the wrong ones or they picked you. You will find someone that wants your help and someone that will better you without having like you do all the work and then destroying you at the end, but then they feel better about it.
Tune in on Thursday for a breakdown bonus episode about power dynamics in relationships, how emotional cheating is just as dangerous as physical cheating, and why does it always feel like infidelity happens at the office? We'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.